It's an all-new Football NYC on YesNetwork.com. Former offensive lineman Ross Tucker and Joe Callow give the best Big Apple football insight on the web, all about Big Blue and Gang Green.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
And here's Joe Callow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Football NYC. Joe Callow, along with former NFL lineman Ross Tucker, one of our co-hosts of This Week in Football on the YES Network. And believe it or not, Ross, the first month of the season is completed. Giants and Jets, decent first month. Giants are undefeated. We'll get into them a little bit later. But the Jets, you know, 3-1, still not bad. You expected them to have a tough game against Drew Brees and the Saints.
Yeah, I think it's a great time here at the quarter poll to kind of take stock of where we are with everything. And I'm not that surprised by what happened to the Jets on Sunday. I'm really not. In fact, I somewhat anticipated this. You're going to go down there and play what is fast becoming one of the best teams in football in New Orleans in their own building. I think, quite frankly, it says a lot about the Jets and what they can do for the rest of the year that they were able to keep it that close with the mistakes that Mark Sanchez made. I mean, it's a testament to their defense that they, for the most part, held Drew Brees under check and in really great conditions anytime you're in a dome like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And for the second week in a row, Drew Brees wasn't lighting it up on the scoreboard, throwing the ball all around. And the Jets defense, I think they did a great job. You know, given this is Mark Sanchez's first year, you know, he's going to have games like this. It just came in the worst spots because, you know, you give that pick six, you know, you're giving the other team points without them earning it on the offensive side of the ball, which you really want Drew Brees to do. And then when he fumbles the ball in the end zone, you know, you got to expect the start of a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and I would say that he was going to do this at least once, right? I think he'll probably have a game like this again. You would probably want and hope that it happens in a situation like this, where you're on the road against a team that's really a formidable team and a game that would be hard to win anyway. You know, you don't want him to do that later on in the year against an also-ran, a Kansas City or a team of that ilk, and lose a game like that. You know, you got to beat in this league. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat and give it a good try against the teams that are really are as good, if not better than you, on the road. And for them to stay that close says a lot. The only thing that I would say is concerning, Joe, is this isn't the first time we've seen this from Sanchez. You know, he's been a little bit loose with the ball some of the other weeks. He's had some other throws that could have been intercepted in some of the previous games. So I think the goal and the hope at this point, if you're a Jets fan or a Jets player, is that, okay, he's really learned his lesson now. And from here on out, he will take much better care of the football.
Yeah, and I think overall Jet fans really have to be happy. You had a 3-1 first month of the season, you know, with a brand new head coach, you know, not really a brand new offensive system with Schottenheimer still there, but a rookie quarterback, you know, playing his first games in the NFL, you know, the wide receivers weren't the standout kind of guys, but a defense we knew going into the season, their defense was going to be good. And, you know, they played three tough matchups, you know, 3 weeks in a row now. And we keep forgetting about Houston the first week. You know,
on the road.
Houston on the road was a great offensive team. So the Jets have had, you know, the past 4 weeks some tough tests. And now this week they go down to Miami, which you finally saw some life out of Miami, maybe because Henny was the quarterback. But you finally saw some life out of Miami this week against Buffalo.
Yeah, I think it actually had more to do with the offensive line and the running game. I mean, the Dolphins are number one in the National Football League now, right now, running the football, over 180 yards a game, 5 yards a pop.
Yeah.
You know, through four games, that's pretty impressive, especially, Joe, when you've only won one of them. I mean, we all know what they did a couple weeks ago on Monday night against the Colts in terms of the time of possession. And this would be a good test for the Jets because they did give up some rushing yards to the Saints. You know, the Saints had a pretty decent day on the ground. And so we're going to find out if this Jets defense is for real in terms of stuffing the run. I think we all assume at this point they can get after the passer and they can defend the pass. Now when a team just tries to bludgeon them, when a team just tries to run right at them, are they able to hold up?
And what I also think is going to be pretty interesting about this weekend is how both Rex Ryan and Sanchez respond after the loss. Because Rex Ryan, this was his first loss as a coach. You know, he came in with an attitude that everybody around the team loved. You know, he had this attitude, we're never going to lose. You know, we're never going to lose. He's coming off his first loss as a coach, as a head coach. And you want to see how Sanchez rebounds from this loss. Because as a rookie, you know, you got a first for everything. This was his first real bad game. And now he's going into a divisional game against Miami down there. And Miami really needs this game. I mean, Miami finally got off the schneid last week. And Miami really needs this game more than the Jets because it's a home game for them. So who do you see winning this game?
Well, and it's a Monday nighter.
Yeah.
And it's a situation where I like the Jets mainly because it's Rex Ryan going against a quarterback starting his second game ever. I do think Sanchez will bounce back. I think having a guy like Calvin Pace will help in terms of the pressure. But Chad Henne took 6 sacks last week against the Buffalo Bills defense, which doesn't exactly have a ferocious pass rush. What's going to happen when he goes against the Jets? Either he's going to take a lot of sacks again, or they're going to harp on him this week that he has to throw the ball away. That could lead to some interceptions for Darrelle Revis and company.
I agree with you. I think the Jets are also going to win the game. I think that Jets defense is going to be too much for Henne to handle. You know, this is going to be his first Monday night game. So I think the Jets are going to get back to their winning ways this weekend. The Giants, however, have not lost yet. The Giants are now 4-0. We'll be right back with some Giants talk. Football NYC, Joe Calo, Ross Tucker. We'll be right back.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
The Giants spearheaded the Chiefs in Week 4, but what are the chances of a Giants win against the Raiders if Eli Manning doesn't play? Let's hear from Ross and Joe.
Welcome back to Football NYC. Joe Calo, Ross Tucker. Let's get into a little Giants talk. The Giants pull off their 4th win in a row to start the season, their 3rd road game in a row. You know, but the major story this weekend wasn't the Giants' victory. It was the status of Eli Manning.
Yeah, I think that's where everybody is kind of cautiously optimistic at this point, based upon everything Eli said. Obviously, they're calling it plantar fasciitis. It's the at the bottom of his foot. I think, given his history, you have to kind of lean towards the fact that you think he'll be able to play and he'll be able to play effectively. But let's be honest, with them going against the Raiders, I think even David Carr could come in. And that's a huge drop-off, don't get me wrong. But I think even David Carr could come in and win this game. But to me, when I look at the Giants, kind of the ultimate compliment, the ultimate sign of respect right now, is that other than the Eli Manning injury, nobody's really talking about him. It's just kind of ho-hum, you know, here we go, businessman-like approach. They win every week. Everybody's expecting it. They win by double digits. They beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, and they beat them convincingly. That's the mark of a good team, and they just go about it every week. Guys like Steve Smith step up and make plays. Even Hakeem Nicks made a play, and I think that really bodes well for the rest of the season that they are this reliable. They're this consistent in every phase of the game.
Yeah, and what I like the most about the Giants, especially on the road now, watching the Giants the past couple years at home, I think sometimes they play to the level of their opponents, like when Cincinnati visited here last year, the game went into overtime. And I like how these Giants are playing the bad teams on the road and just taking care of business. Sure, it may take them a quarter or two. But what worries me about this week coming into this game is a lot of people are saying, yeah, just start Carr, it's just the Raiders, it's just the Raiders. You know, we got the Saints coming up in a couple of weeks. And I'm just worried that the Giants are going to come home this weekend because I think they're a better road team than they are home team. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think they are. I don't think it was a coincidence that their Super Bowl run a couple of years ago, all the games were on the road. We see how Eli plays at home during the playoffs, and we see how he plays on the road. And I just think sometimes the Giants play more to the level of their opponents at home, and it kind of worries me how people are just going to say, yeah, just let Carr start the game because we're going to win anyway.
Yeah, and I would feel that way if they're playing probably any one of about 30 teams in the NFL. But they're playing the Raiders, and the Raiders, quite honestly, couldn't look very much worse if they tried. Jamarcus Russell is clearly, I would argue, the worst starting quarterback in the National Football League. Obviously, all the reports are coming out now that he's missing meetings, he's late for meetings, he's been fined multiple times for being overweight. It's just not a good scenario there. You know, that's a guy that clearly has a huge sense of entitlement, because he was the number one overall pick, because of what his bank account looks like. And I just don't think that they're ever going to go anywhere with Jamarcus. Now, I've been beating the drum that they should continue to play him because they need to find out for sure. I just don't see them, even though the Giants supposedly don't play as well at home, I don't see the Raiders having enough to come in here. They've kind of abandoned the run game. They can't run the
football.
And
McFadden's hurt now. He's out for a month.
Yeah, not a whole lot good going on in Oakland. And I think, like I said, I think Rhett Bomar could probably come off the practice squad and start this game and win it for the Giants.
And before I move on and talk about the other teams in the NFL, I just want to really talk about the Giants receivers. What a great job I think they're doing this year. I think, you know, Steve Smith has become a star in this league. I mean, everybody's noticing him every week now. Everybody's seeing his highlights at night now. I mean, did you ever think, I mean, we spoke in the beginning of the season, you thought the Giant receivers were going to be good, but did you ever think that they were going to have this kind of an impact just 1 month in the season?
No, not at all. Especially not Steve Smith. I didn't know he was this type of playmaker. You know, I thought Steve Smith would be a guy that catches six balls for 60 yards and three of them are first downs, and he's just that kind of consistent guy throughout his career. A solid number two. This guy at this point is a legit number one. And what's exciting about that, if you're a Giants fan, think about all the other guys that have come out of USC that they could have taken over the years.
Well, they thought Dwayne Jarrett was going to go to them.
Dwayne Jarrett, Mike Williams, Kerry Colbert. Even I'll throw Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart in there. I mean, you look at the USC guys, and right now, on the offensive side of the ball, Steve Smith is kind of the shining star, and the Giants really got him under the radar for a second-round pick a couple years ago.
Yeah, and what really impressed me, especially a couple of years ago with Steve Smith, is that it was his rookie season, and he made such an impact in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. He was so reliable on third down. I think Mariel Manningham is a great compliment to him because he has a shiftiness, and we also saw a great play out of Knicks this week.
Yeah, and Steve Smith, he's already a pro's pro. That's what I really respect every week. It's only year three for him, yet he makes all the plays in the clutch times. He runs fantastic routes. And they have now not just one, but two playmakers on the outside. We've been talking the last couple of weeks here on Football NYC about Mariel Manningham. Well, Hakeem Nicks, he gets off the bench. It's pretty much the first catch he gets. He takes it to the house. I mean, now you're getting excited. Now if you have more than one guy that can make those type of plays, Steve Smith, the consistent performer, Manningham and Nicks are showing flashes. So far, so good for Jerry Reese and his decision not to go out and trade for one of the big-name, high-priced guys that he possibly could have.
So by listening to you speak these past 5 minutes, I kind of know that you're picking the Giants to win this game. So you think whether it's Eli or David Carr, this game's not even close.
Or Rhett Bomar. Or if they trade back for Andre Woodson. I'm telling you, the Giants are winning this game. They are just too consistent in their approach and in their work habits to lose a game like this.
All right. He sees victories for Giants and Jets this weekend. We'll be right back with some more talk. Football NYC, Joe Callow, Ross Tucker.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs. Upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
It was a wild week four around the NFL, and it should be another big week ahead with some key matchups. And now back to Ross and Joe.
We are back. Football NYC, Joe Callow, Ross Tucker. We're heading into week five, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about some interesting matchups, you know, coming into this weekend. There was a great game in New England last weekend between the Ravens and the New England Patriots. And, you know, in the end, the Patriots ended up winning the game, but you really got to be impressed with the Ravens this season.
Oh, I'm thoroughly impressed with the Ravens. I was actually there, Joe, in my duties as a color commentator for the Sports USA radio network. And I think the guy that stands out is Joe Flacco. You know, he, in my opinion, was the more impressive performer out of those two quarterbacks. I can't even believe I'm saying that, but he was so calm, so cool. I mean, we should start to give him the nickname that Joe Montana used to have, Joe Cool, because that's the way Joe Flacco is out there. I mean, the first drive, they went no huddle. He took them all the way down the field and scored, even late in the game, you know, in the two-minute drill. He was going to lead them, it looked like at least, on a game-winning scoring drive. Obviously, Mark Clayton dropping a couple balls, including that last one on fourth down, which was just a brutal, brutal catch. You got to use your hands. You can't let the ball come in your body like that. Now, we don't know for sure that they would have scored, but it was looking pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And last year when Flacco came into the league, I thought, okay, he's just going to do enough where he doesn't lose the game like Kyle Bowler used to do and all these other Baltimore Raven quarterbacks. But I never expected him to put up these numbers like he's putting up this year. And he really doesn't have a standout wide receiver. He has Mason. He has Clayton. You know, he's got Ray Rice nice and a nice, you know, three running back set there with Ray Rice and McClain and McGahee. But I really think, what a great first month of the season for him. Matt Ryan also having some success. And this week, you know, the Ravens, another good matchup, you know, against the Cincinnati Bengals. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, and that's the game I'll be at. And the Bengals are 3-1, and it might not have looked real pretty going overtime against Cleveland, but as we always talk about here, Joe, on Football NYC. You don't apologize for wins.
Absolutely.
A win is a win in this league. They found a way to get it done. People want to say, well, they had to go to overtime. Well, it's also because they had a field goal and extra point block.
Divisional
which
game.
Happen. On the road, divisional
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
And so who would have thought that this matchup would be for first place in the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, at least, on the outside looking in at 2-2, even though they did have a pretty impressive performance Sunday night against San Diego Chargers. I think a lot of this game will come down to Carson Palmer. You know, I think he's had a pretty good year so far, but I'm not sure he's lighting it up as people expect. I think people thought big things would come from Chad Ochocinco, especially from a guy like Chris Henry. It really hasn't been the case. I mean, a lot of their production has been from Cedric Benson, of all people, on the ground.
Yeah, and I like the way that the Bengals got aggressive towards the end of the game and in overtime.
Yeah.
I love the aggressive style of Palmer. And, you know, speaking of Ochocinco, you know, he did score, you know, the touchdown with time running out. So I like the way he stepped up because all the talking that he does, you know. If you're going to talk that much, you really have to step up in these big spots. And another game I wanted to talk about last weekend was, you know, the Denver Broncos continuing to impress. You know, I don't care if it was a home game for them, the Dallas Cowboys. Anytime Dallas plays you, it's a big game. You know, Tony Romo had this team in great shape to score a touchdown. And, you know, is it just me or just when a guy goes on the next day and admits he didn't know it was fourth down, you know, that's kind of embarrassing. I don't even know why he would admit something like that.
Yeah, it's almost up there with Donovan McNabb and what he thought would happen after a tie in the NFL. He said it'd be a shame if that happened in the Super Bowl. Come on, Donovan. You know, you're better than that. But, I would say the thing that jumps out about the Broncos as they go into this game against the New England Patriots on Sunday is really their defense. I mean, 6.5, 6.8, whatever it is, points per game up until this point. And I've said it all the time. I'll say it again. It bears mentioning, number one, the assistant coach of the year so far in the NFL is Mike Nolan, defense coordinator for the Broncos.
Job.
Number two, maybe these no-names on the Denver defense, like Ron Fields, Ryan McBean, Kenny Peterson, Mario Hagan, those guys all start, folks. Maybe they're better than we thought. Maybe they're actually pretty decent players because once you can say, okay, it's a fluke, twice, but now they're holding teams like the Cowboys and the Bengals, pretty high-scoring teams, to pretty low point totals. Now, though, we'll see what happens with Tom Brady and company.
That's right. It doesn't get much easier. This is a great matchup this weekend. This is, you know, Tom Brady now coming off the, you know, the win to get them back in good shape. You know, they're playing Denver now. I think New England Patriots are going to win this game.
Yeah, I lean that way, too. I think that the Broncos are probably due for a loss at this point. You know, I always kind of believe in the regression of the mean, so to speak, in terms of I don't think a team like Denver is going to go undefeated for too long. I just don't quite frankly think that they're that good. Now, the New England Patriots, they're not dominant like they were a couple years ago. Not at all. But they still are finding a way to gut out wins against the Falcons, against the Ravens at home. I know they were home games, but those are two undefeated teams coming in. And they won both games. You know, even though they were close games, they found a way to get the W. Defense is playing better than some people expected. Maybe the offense not quite as explosive as people had hoped, but they still put 20-some points on the board against the Ravens. You do that, you're doing something.
And the last matchup I wanted to talk about this weekend was the Atlanta Falcons coming off a bye week, playing against the 49ers, who really rebounded nicely off that tough loss against Brett Favre and the Vikings, blowing out the Rams. I'm not saying the Rams are a great team, but they really just, you know, destroyed them in this game. Who do you like in that game?
Well, yeah, this is another matchup of two of the up-and-coming teams in the NFL. But I'm going to lean towards the Niners. A, it's at home, and B, I think that they're better on defense. I think that they're more physical on defense. You know, the Falcons were really hurt when Perry Ejiri, their first-round pick, got hurt. I think that they're already light on the defensive side of the ball. So because of that, even though Matt Ryan's a better quarterback than Sean Hill, I'm buying what Mike Singletary and the Niners are selling right now.
As always, Ross, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. This has been Football NYC. Joe Callow, Ross Tucker. Join us later in the week for the big Football NYC video broadcast with myself and Joe Auriemma. Until then, see ya.
From standing on the corners bopping to driving some of the hottest cars New York has ever seen, for dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard.